The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Pretty good. Thank you, Howard. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're good. We're taking it very, very easy. It is a public holiday here in South Africa. So, yeah, we started an hour later. We're playing nice music and we're pretty relaxed in studio.
Well, I have to say I did enjoy the last song. It does make me think a lot about the rains down in Africa and here in Israel where it's very hot and dry and, of course, into the summer season. So we certainly do miss the fact that that there used to be rain once upon a time during the summertime, but unfortunately no more these days.
Absolutely. Moving on to subjects around Israel, $25 million US dollars worth of Qatari money now will be distributed in Gaza today. How does this link to the increase in tension that took place on the Gaza border last week, Anthony?
So a lot of people are saying that this is almost like a reward for bad behavior. Mm. You know, as soon as there's an upsurge in tension, rockets are being fired, attacks taking place along the Gaza border, what do? We open it up to allow $25 million worth of Gaza money to go into Gaza, sorry, Qatari money, I apologize, to go into Gaza. And it almost seems as if though, you know, the more, there is bad behavior, the more there'll be the reward. But I think if we look at the money a little bit more carefully, and how it's being distributed, I think that it gives us a little bit of an insight, as to be able to take a slightly more informed decision about whether this is actually a reward for bad behavior. So out of the $25 million, $10 million has been earmarked to pay Israel for services like a supply of electricity and things like that that have been given to Gaza residents. So one could argue that Israel has an interest to release the money because actually a fair chunk of it comes to Israeli companies and to the Israeli side of the border to pay for those services that are being provided to Gaza. Then another good chunk of money in the order of $15 million, I believe, is being actually distributed to needy families in $100 amounts. So that is actually physically being distributed on the streets of Gaza via post offices, via whatever means they can. They're going to spend the entire day today actually making sure that that money goes out in hard cash to the hands of the people who it is intended to get it. You know, the people who've been earmarked for that are the needy families. So again, one can argue that that's not really a reward for bad behavior because we would want that money to go to the
families.
That's
where it should be going, actually.
Right, right. Yeah. So what we're trying to avoid, is allowing the money to go to Hamas themselves or to some of the renegade groups, which could potentially use this money for rearmament purposes, for buying arms and ammunition and things like that. So that's really what we are trying to avoid. Now, the last chunk of money, which I believe is another $10 million, is going to United Nations projects to allow them to continue the work that's being done there. And I think that this is really where Israel has concern about where the money ultimately will end up, because it's not exactly clear how these United Nations projects do distribute the money and whether potentially some of that money does go to the purchase of arms and ammunition, because of the fact that it's kind of out of the hands and out of the sight of the Israeli authorities as that money is being distributed. So, you know, I think that when we understand exactly how the money goes and where it goes to and what purpose it serves, I think that that gives us a much better idea and therefore a much better way of coming to a conclusion as to whether it is really the case that this money is a reward for bad behavior or whether in fact this money could potentially be used to avoid future conflicts and potentially reduce the level of violence. Because the moment those needy families, for example, have the money in their hands, they will feel less antagonism towards Israel. They'll be able to go about their daily business and buy the food and supplies that they desperately need. And it'll give the authorities less of an opportunity to raise up Israel as being the evil power in preventing them from, you know, being able to just feed their families and do the very, very basic things that Israel would very much want them to do. And, you know, just to take that further, I mean, obviously Israel has in its interests to try to promote the economy of Gaza as much as possible in a positive sense, in a sense that, you know, will build the economy rather than cause destruction of the economy, in the sense of, you know, buying goods and services and you know, the things that would be required to allow people to trade and to earn a living and to keep busy, rather than to think about the destruction of Israel and the purchase of arms and ammunition, which seems to be most of what Gaza's economy is really based on, building tunnels and purchasing arms and ammunition and giving people work in that sense. So I think that, you know, while on the face of it, this Qatari money does look like it's unjustified in going across the border, I just wonder whether there isn't something about it that actually says this is not a bad thing for Israel, mm-hmm. and that it could potentially help to try somehow to reduce the level of violence that we constantly see on that border.
Yeah, look, I certainly hear it. If the people of Gaza, who are punished more than anybody else, I mean, they are the victims in this whole situation. And whereas the world likes to portray them being a victims of Israel, in truth, they are the victims of Hamas. If they can get some relief, I can't see that as long as they do get that money, I can't see it being a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And, you know, the problem, unfortunately, is that, you know, even though they are victims of Hamas, Hamas has enormous influence over what they think and what they do and how they behave.
Absolutely.
Even though they haven't quite come to the realization, or maybe they have, but they have no choice, that all of these things that they're up to are really not helpful in the long term.
Before we talk about Ramat Trump or that Trump Heights, which makes me a little queasy, I have to say. I want to talk about the another story that kind of links back to what we're talking about now. A Fatah mayor has been fired after Jewish guests were seen attending his son's wedding. What was the story?
Well, this was the mayor of a village who is in the Palestinian Authority area, and he was actually expelled, apparently, personally by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. And the reason for the expulsion was simply because pictures have emerged of some ultra-Orthodox Jews actually attending his son's wedding, and there were pictures that were distributed of these people from Modi'in Elite who were dancing at the celebrations of this man's wedding. And what I understand from what I've read is that there was some work connection between the Jews and the Palestinians, that they work in a garage together in some sort of a motor repair place, and they were invited to the wedding, as I understand things. There were conflicting reports that say that as soon as the father understood that there were Jews at the wedding, that he immediately took action to try to expel them from the wedding itself. But the point is that the pictures seem to have been very damaging, which show Jews and Muslims dancing together at a wedding. That was the crime that was committed.
How wonderful. How absolutely wonderful.
And so, you know, therefore one has to look at this situation and say, what are we dealing with here? Why are we trying every effort that we can, going through the whole Bahraini peace conference that's due to take place in the next week or two, and going through the machinations with the United States to somehow try to reach certain concessions that can be given to the Palestinians in order to get them to agree to whatever peace deal the United States is trying to put on the table. But the point is that at its most fundamental level, the interaction between individuals is everything. And if these people feel that they want to attend each other's weddings, why would Mahmoud Abbas step in and say, that's not okay, we don't accept this type of behavior, this is not acceptable to us, we don't agree that Jews and Muslims should dance at the same wedding, and therefore I'm going to fire the individual who happens to be a Fatah official and mayor of the city who was the host of the wedding. I'm going to fire him from Fatah because he does not represent what Fatah is about. Now, if that's not what Fatah is about, why are we actually even bothering to try to reach a peace agreement? You know, this is, I think, the most basic thing, and I would have thought that Fatah would have said, this is exactly what we want, and this is exactly what we want our peace agreement to reflect. And if we can't get it to reflect this, then we have lost everything. So not only is Fatah saying, you know, that we will not have Jews living in the new Palestinian state if and when that's finally set up, but now we're actually even saying that people can't invite each other to weddings where there is a friendliness at a personal level. This, I think, is a very fundamentally flawed in the entire process.
It's actually one of the saddest stories, and that's why I think it's important to talk about, because this, to me, is just such a terrible blight on the Palestinian Authority, that this goes so deep, or maybe so fearful, that if people start becoming close friends or family friends on a personal level, well, then maybe they'll see through what is really going on there.
Well, and you see, the point is that, you know, I would like to think that we are trying to aim towards a certain ultimate situation where we can be friends and neighbors, where we can live side by side in peace with each other. And that is our common objective. And even though we still hold that up as a common objective, we seem all the time to be continuously reminded that maybe that common objective is not really common, and that really the Fatah party in particular, who are held up as being like the friendliest elements towards Israel, they are not reflecting what this objective really is, and unfortunately the world does not look at events like this and say, guys, we can see that even though Israel would be willing to make concessions, and even though those individual Jews and those Palestinians, those Muslims, are willing to be friends and to dance at a wedding together and to celebrate together, when it comes to the official level, and you know, a lot of this is being placed, the blame is being placed at the feet of Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is being accused of not wishing to pursue an agenda of peace and taking actions that will ultimately be damaging to peace. But I think that what we're finding is that because we can see that there isn't really a common agenda that's being followed and a common objective that people are trying to achieve, that ultimately the Israeli government is having to put up the defense mechanisms. And those defense mechanisms are being interpreted by the international world as, you know, contrary to peace. But I think that these kind of actions are contrary to peace, and what Israel is doing in response is just simply defending itself, because it's pretty clear that there isn't really a peace agenda on the table.
Sad story indeed. Finally, can we just talk about the new inaugurated Trump Heights? I don't know why it makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. What's the story here?
Well, you're not the only one, Howard. I think there are a lot of people, even people who are very strong supporters of the work that President Donald Trump has been doing to support Israel. And somehow it kind of does feel a little bit over the top in some senses. But nonetheless, Trump Heights, or Ramat Trump, was inaugurated yesterday. It is a town in the Golan Heights. Of course, it was inaugurated just a few days after the president's birthday, which I understand was on Friday. And of course, it was inaugurated in the Golan Heights because there is significance to that. And the significance is that the Trump administration has formally signed a declaration that Israel is entitled to sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And in return for that gift that was really granted to Israel by the Trump administration, Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday decided to hold a special cabinet meeting at a place that was previously called Beruchim and had 10 residents, and Beruchim is now called Trump Heights, or Ramat Trump. It has been renamed. It is a place that has actually been on the map for more than 20 years, but it hasn't really developed into anything beyond the 10 residents that are there at the moment. And so apparently there's a plan now at the newly inaugurated Ramat Trump to build something like 110 housing units, which will be for both religious and secular residents, and to try and increase the activity and to turn it into something that's a lot more substantial right in the heart of the Golan Heights. Ambassador to Israel from the United States, David Friedman, was there personally yesterday with a group of other people, Americans who happen to be in Israel at the moment and who joined the celebration. So I agree. There is a sort of a queasiness about this, even for people who are very much supporters of the whole idea. But that's what it is. And we will then be following to see how the development goes forward from here.
Absolutely. And as I said a little bit earlier, before we spoke to you, is even if I find it a bit uncomfortable, it's probably going to be a great place to buy, in terms of investment, certainly, because Trump is not going to let this place look shabby, not on his watch in any of
We will see.
Absolutely. Anthony Rock, it is 8 o'clock. Thank you, as always. That's your Israel update with Anthony Rock. Let's see what Zanati has.